Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
We're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you been waiting for?
Go, kids, let's go.
Two.
Start the show.
One.
Good morning. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show. If you can hear my voice, it is a beautiful Monday morning. And you woke up, so be happy. You're alive. You're alive. I think I just traumatized my co-host. Have you ever seen a naked butt that early in the morning?
No.
Besides your own?
No.
So Jess gets here. And I found this old video. You know, today when people have babies, you know, they take lots of pictures and videos of it. And it's all edited and it's put to music and it looks really pretty. I don't know if you've seen one before.
Yeah.
So I found this old VHS tape that was just labeled Baby Rocky. And I thought, oh, it's video of Rocky when he was a baby. And no, it's me in labor with Rocky. And I didn't even
Hold
know this
second.
Existed.
Did you have something that plays a VHS?
I had to borrow one.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I didn't own one. I had to go on Facebook and say, I need a VHS player. And then the first one that I borrowed from my friends Nick and Julie broke.
I broke this.
I went to hit the stop button and it pushed all the way through into the VCR. yeah, instead of my buddy Greg over at Dale's Music hooked me up with this video, and I just think it's so funny because I'm in horrible shape and not
it's
doing
like the
well.
Opposite of what you see now, like
it
no
is.
Beautiful music, and it's like I'm like, wow, Kelly.
Yeah, and I'm like, Jessica, look at my butt. So yeah, my co-host is Jessica, and if you want to see a little bit of that video, I did not post my butt, but I did post a funny part of it on my Instagram. My Instagram is just Kelly Mano, I think. So yeah, if you want to see, yeah, somebody, okay. Just look Kelly Mano, the Kelly Mano Show, something like that. How was everybody's weekend?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Weekend was good.
That's producer Gary, for those who don't know the haunting voice in the background. We had a great weekend. Rocky got a hat trick at his hockey game.
Yes!
You know, and if people think that I'm bragging, it's because I am. Because
you should. Absolutely.
You know, hat tricks don't happen all the time.
No.
And he's been playing for almost 7 years now, and he's never had a hat trick. And I was there to see it. Jimmy was there to see it. And my mom was there to see it.
Did you throw your hat?
No, I did not. But I did scream like a crazy person. I'm sort of known for being one of the normal hockey moms.
Yeah.
Seriously, I'm one of the quietest moms on the team.
Nothing about you says normal to me.
No. Well,
I mean that with love.
You have to see what I'm comparing myself to. You have to come to like the game to really see how normal I am. I happened to be running my video camera on my phone at the time.
Awesome.
Yes, and so I got the third goal on tape, and then I squeal like a banshee, and yeah. So good job to Rocky, and then yeah, Lucy had a soccer game on. In his game where he got his hat trick, it wasn't like a blowout either. It wasn't like 8-0. It was literally 3-2, and he scored all three goals.
Awesome.
And he could not have done it. His line mates were putting like passes right on the tape, and you know, he's got a good team this year, and
Excellent.
Yeah, good job Rocky Mano, and good thing for hockey that it's around, because I miss baseball. Doesn't it feel like something's missing?
It really does. Like, and I on like Facebook time hop.
Yeah.
Like I see all these things like.
Yes. And last year I'm talking about the games. And 2 years ago I'm talking about the games.
Yeah. And it's not there.
And I come home and I'm like, this sucks. Like it doesn't feel right to not be in the postseason. Now your Dodgers got knocked out, right, Gary?
Yes, they're gone too. And I'm going to tell you what. If I see another one of my friends posting about the Royals,
I was rooting for now.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to just vomit.
It's the Cubs and Royals, right? Is that who's left?
Royals in Toronto and Cubs in the Mets.
Oh, okay. So we're not quite to the World Series yet.
No, the winners of those two will play in the World Series.
Oh, that my goodness.
I would really like to see Casey take it. I'm sorry, but...
Yeah.
No, see...
There's
I
no
will
San Francisco this.
This
year.
Well...
Thank goodness.
I already made everybody mad last week when I told them that I hope the Cubbies take it.
Well,
I want to see history. I want to see it happen. I think it's a cool story, and then I hope they suck again next year and we beat the crap out of them, but I want to see the Cubs take it.
That's fine.
Yeah, well, because here's the other thing.
We can still be friends.
People didn't even think about it, is if the Cubs do win, Theo Epstein, who is the general manager of the Cubs, will have broken the curse of the Bambino and the curse of the Billy Goat.
It's because he wears those Harry Carey glasses. I think that's what maybe like broke the curse. But it sucks that that baseball's not here. But thank God we have hockey for now. Jess, what did you do this weekend? Did anything interesting happen to you over the weekend?
I was on a bachelorette party.
Oh, you still do those? Are they fun? I haven't been on one in so long.
Oh my gosh. I'm on, so we all get on the bus and I'm on a bus of like 15, 20 women. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, you guys! And they're like, what? And I'm like, I just got a friend request from Dirks Bentley. And
what?
Go, yes!
Wait a minute, wait a minute. The country singer Dirks Bentley?
Yes, who I love.
Okay, so you used to work in country radio. Yes. So that is plausible that you got a follower quest from Dirks Bentley.
I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. And this one girl goes, she stands up and she's like, does it have a check mark next to it? And I'm like, no. And she's like, then it's not Dirks Bentley. So it was like the happiest and saddest 5 seconds of my life. I sat down and I was like, oh.
That reminds me of like being at like Mississippi Nights in like the 90s and thinking that like the singer on stage is like winking at me and I'm like, he's totally looking at me.
Yeah.
And then I turn around to tell my friend and there's like a really hot girl behind me. I'm like, oh no.
But something that cool that did happen.
Yeah.
That I just found out about. So my husband was on this all day pub crawl type deal. So today we're at the grocery store and he goes, oh yeah. And I go, what? And he goes, apparently you've been deemed the hot wife.
What?
And I'm like,
well, you're hot. I get that.
Well, really? But no.
Who called you a hot wife?
Apparently, so the guys that he's on this pub crawl with.
Yeah.
This girl walks in that somebody invited, and and somebody's like, oh, this is Travis. And she's like, oh, you're the one with the hot wife.
Oh, my gosh.
So this girl has never seen me before.
Nice.
So these guys must have been talking about me, and they're like, oh,
well, do they call Travis like the hot husband, you think?
I have no idea. No. So I'm like, but apparently there's a couple problems here.
Yeah.
The guys that apparently called me the hot wife, none of them are married.
Oh.
And I've also got to keep up this appearance.
Oh yeah. You got to keep that stuff together now so you don't lose your street cred.
Right. And then also, is there like a domestic goddess? Is there like your wife has the best job? Your wife's the smartest?
I don't think so. They don't get the guys only care if you're hot.
Okay. And then also, these guys are all ass men.
Oh, well, that's why they like you. You got junk in the trunk, girl.
That's what I'm thinking. It's gotta be. So, anyway, but I was pretty proud. I high-fived my husband.
Well, good for you.
Half for me, half for him.
Now, if Travis is the hot husband, then he must have the dad bod, because that is the new trend that is sweeping women. Now, I didn't even know that this was a thing. I heard about it I heard about this a couple months ago, and now it's back again. And so frat boys are rejoicing everywhere because the dad bod is in. Hey, honey, what? You've been in style for like 12 years. I did not even know dad bod was a thing, but looking back at my history, like that is what I've always been attracted to. And so what the dad bod is a nice balance between a beer gut and working out. The dad bod says I go to the gym occasionally, but I also drink beer on the weekends and enjoy a pizza. So it turns out skipping the gym for a few hours is falling in the men's favor. So are you attracted to the dad bod?
I mean, I guess that kind of describes Travis.
Right. I mean, it's supposed to be like, I guess like broad shoulders and like a decent chest and like a little bit of a belly.
That's him. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, I don't think I've ever dated a guy with a six pack. That probably says more about me than
guys with a six pack.
So here's the top five reasons that women are loving men with the dad bod. Let's see. Number one, it doesn't intimidate us.
Okay.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
Because
I want to be the pretty one, okay?
Exactly. And I don't want to feel insecure about, you know, what I've got going on. So if he's got a little bit of a belly, then that's good. And number two, exactly what you just said. We like being the pretty one.
Right.
We like being the center of attention. We want to look skinny with a bigger guy and feel smaller. Never a problem for me, probably.
Me
or you.
Either.
We're both small girls. So I've always been attracted to bigger guys, beer belly. Number three, better cuddling.
Who
wants to cuddle with
a stick?
Well, I wonder if like, so when the boys have a six pack though, does it get like mushy when they're relaxed?
No.
It's not like it stays like a washboard, right?
No. Yeah. It's not the same.
And then also Good Eats. The dad bod says that he does not meal prep every Sunday night. And if you want to go to Taco Tuesday or $4 Pitcher Wednesdays, he's totally down. And also, you know what you're getting. So it's not like you hang on. We know what we're getting into when he's got the same exact body at the age of 22 that he's going to have whenever he's 45.
I'm great with the dad bod if it's like David Beckham dad bod.
David Beckham does not have a dad bod.
No, not at
David
all.
Beckham. David Beckham is ripped head to toe.
Woo!
So the dad bod is like Leonardo DiCaprio.
I know some guys at work that were like, "Yeah, I've already got the dad bod." Woo!
No, that's exactly what Jimmy has, and that's exactly what I've always been attracted to. So that's how you got me, honey. You're awesome, dad bod. You're awesome, dad bod. Everybody's mad at McDonald's. Just 10 days after their nationwide rollout of the big "we're serving breakfast all day," everybody's pissed.
That's what I hear.
Okay, customers are pissed because apparently it was supposed to be an all-day breakfast menu, and it's not. They're only doing like the McMuffins and the hash browns, so you can't get the McGriddles, you can't get anything else. And
can I get pancakes? Like,
what no, no. All you can get is the muffins.
You can get a breakfast burrito, though.
You can? You can get a breakfast burrito?
Oh, God, yes.
I haven't had McDonald's breakfast
I don't
in like
eat this
years.
Crap for breakfast, but I no. try. I tried to get it for lunch the other day, and they're like, yeah, we don't have McGriddles.
Certain things you can get. So what you normally like, which is your sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit,
yeah.
you can get, I do believe. But the McGriddle, you can't for some reason. And you can get breakfast burritos, which is all I care about.
Me too. I love those.
Oh, my God.
Whoa,
oh.
What a disappointment. And also that like the franchise owners are mad. They're saying the new menu is slowing down service. It's reducing, you know, wait time at the window. It's causing chaos in the kitchen. So I don't know if this is going to be around for much longer.
Well, the big reason why the franchisees are so angry about it is that if you're going to go in, you're going to get... Let's say normally you get a quarter pounder with cheese, and now you're going to get a breakfast burrito. There's a far price difference. Like, if you're going to get one item and yeah. you choose breakfast over the regular menu, the breakfast items tend to be cheaper, so their overall, like, earnings are down, too. So
go get your biscuits while you can. I don't know if this is going to be around much longer. All right, so that covers our weekends.
Nice.
We'll be right back. It's the Kelly Manor Radio Show.
Kelly Mano Show.
Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy.
Okay, the classy part might be a stretch. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show. Are you laughing at my new imaging, Jess? Yes. I've got more fun stuff coming. Just wait. The Kelly Mano Show is brought to you by Dale's Music in Hazelwood, Missouri. Music education is so important these days. Schools are not cutting it. Music funding is gone. At Dale's, you can get your kiddo hooked up with music lessons for just $70 a month with no long-term contracts. Like Greg at Dale's likes to say, you pay as you play. And right now, they're running a sale where if you buy your kid 1 month of music lessons in October, you get the second month for half off. And my husband came running in here with fire shooting out of his butt because he loves Dale's.
Yeah, I love Dale's.
Oh, wait. It would help if I turn your microphone.
Yeah, turn my microphone up. Because all the people out there need to know that I am a professional musician. I've played around the country. Yeah. I've recorded the whole nine yards. I started as a student at Dale's Music when I was 9 years old.
Aww.
I became a guitar teacher at Dale's Music when I was 17 years old.
Yeah.
Worked there for years. I could not be more passionate about what Greg Smith, the owner of Dale's Music, does, how he spreads music education to everyone throughout the St. Louis area. Highly recommend if you're shopping for guitars, bass, drums, you name it.
Right.
Go see Greg.
I mean, for $70 a month, I mean, I know how much school band costs, and that's about the same price, and you're getting private lessons.
Private lessons with excellent teachers.
Yeah. So if you want to get your kiddo involved in music, you can give them a call at 314-895-3403 or check out their website, dalesmusicstl.net. Jess, what is that number again?
314-895-3403. 3403.
You're so good at that.
Thank you.
Prejudice. Wrote a song about it? Like to hear it? Here it go.
Free your mind. I
hard to talk over all the good music.
Right.
I just want to listen to it and jam. Good news coming out of Hollywood this weekend. It looks like Lamar Odom is going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, by okay, I mean he's still definitely in critical condition. But it looks like his major organs, lungs, heart is starting to function. So,
what a crazy story.
Did you watch the Kardashians? Like, do you watch them regularly?
I watch. I don't think it's possible for me to watch less TV. I watch nothing.
Well, so I don't. I'm not a huge fan of that family, but I love Khloe. And back in the day when Lamar was on the show, anyone who watched the show when Lamar was on the show was pulling for him when they heard this news.
Yeah.
Because it couldn't have happened to a better guy. Lamar has had a really, really rough life. So he was born to a mom who died when he was 12 years old. And then his dad is a heroin addict. And that was featured on the show.
Sad.
And so he was raised by his grandma who passed away about 10 years ago. And so he, you know, his whole life growing up, he grew up in like Queens, I think. And his whole life was just basketball. So here, this kid with no mom and a drug dealer for a dad or a drug addict becomes this high school phenomenal baseball or basketball player and makes it to the big leagues.
Yeah.
And so over the course of the years, it looks like addiction, you know, got to him. And I think it really had a lot to do with, number one, his divorce from Khloe, and number two,
Are they actually divorced?
They're not. Well, that's what came to light over the weekend is that we thought they were divorced, but I guess in Las Vegas, which is where he is,
right,
they are technically still married. So she's the one making all the decisions for him. But I thought he was good as gone. I thought there's no way you pull out of something like this.
Crazy
and
story.
It made me look up. So NBC had this story with Live Science that it's from a couple of years ago, but it's talking about that addiction is now considered a chronic brain disorder, not a behavior problem. The American Society of Addiction Medicine has a new definition for addiction after a 4-year process that involved over 80 experts. And they say, at its core, addiction isn't just a social, moral, or criminal problem. It is a brain problem. I guess what they're saying is that we're born with this. And now, I always thought that some people were more predispositioned to addiction than others, but I didn't know that this was kind of like formed in your brain already. And I think it kind of makes sense because nobody ever believes this about me, but I was a really long time smoker. And when I say smoker, I mean like a full pack a day.
Wow.
Well, because it started like in high school, like we tried it a few times. And then it was around my junior year. Once we got our license and we could drive ourselves, you know, I'm from Granite City, so you could like show your boob to the guy at the ice house and get a pack of cigarettes.
Nice.
You didn't need.
Is that what you did, Kelly?
I'm not saying I did it. I'm just saying there's cigarettes were very easily accessible growing up where I grew up. And so, yeah. And at some point, you know, in my junior, senior year, I became addicted to it. And so it blew my mind that like in college that there were friends of mine who could just socially smoke. Like they would just pick it up on the weekend and then Monday through Friday they wouldn't smoke. And it blew my mind that I couldn't do that and that I was addicted to it. And then when I got pregnant with Rocky is when I quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And after I had him, I didn't plan on going back to it. But he was about 2 or 3 weeks old. And I thought, you know what? I just want one cigarette. I just want one. So I drove down the street and I got a pack of cigarettes. I took out two. And I threw the rest of the pack away. And I smoked those two cigarettes. Went to bed, woke up the next morning and bought another pack. And smoked a pack a day for probably another 3 to 4, 6 months until I finally just realized that I was addicted to it and that I can't socially smoke. Have you ever been addicted to anything like that?
No, I've never smoked. Gosh.
I mean, I know that you can be like a party girl, so you can like drink on the weekends and then function during the week, but then there's some people who can't do that.
I don't drink much. Now, do you know what I am addicted to? Is shopping. And then I have buyer's remorse. I'm like, why did I buy all this? Like, do I need all this?
No, you don't need all of this.
But it's seriously,
yeah.
I might be addicted to shopping.
No, I mean, I think that being addicted to shopping, because trust me, I have buyer's remorse all the time. You can ask Jimmy, because like Amazon, like knows the way.
Oh my God. And then it's here in 2 days, and it's terrible.
I sleep buy stuff on Amazon.
Oh my gosh, me too. You like, wake up in the morning, like, guess what I need?
Like, I don't drink, you know, at all, but like, it's kind of like a drunk, like buying stuff on Amazon.
It really is, because you're half asleep and you're like, that looks cool.
I need to show you what showed up on my front porch this morning.
Is it not the butt pads? Was that not a half asleep purchase?
This is even worse, and I would talk about what what it is, but it's part of my Halloween costume, and my kids don't know what I'm going to be, and it's driving them crazy, so I can't say what it is, but I'll show it to you. But yeah, so I don't know. I mean, people who struggle with addiction, I mean, it sounds like regardless, you know, there's been a long-standing debate about whether addicts have a choice in their behaviors, and it looks like there is some science coming out that says that there are things in your brain that that are going to predisposition that. So hopefully Lamar pulls through.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's still in critical condition, but, you know, I want to see him do good. And I secretly want to see him and Chloe get back together.
I think
everybody does. I know she's got a new boyfriend, and that's got to be weird for him because she's got a new boyfriend, yet she's taking care of the husband she's still married to. Interesting. Time. Do you think they're filming? Do you think the Kardashians are filming this?
Oh,
Gary?
Well, the rumors and the reports going around is that the cameras were at the hospital in Vegas when Chris and Chloe and Kim were all there, but nobody's been able to really substantiate
that. Aren't there, like, HIPAA laws against this?
You know, I bet I'm going to say right now on Monday, October 19th, that they are filming. We will see this on the show. I don't think they're, like, stepping aside and doing interviews necessarily, but I do think that there's no way that this is happening in their lives and they're not whoring it out.
Oh.
I would probably agree. And by the way, just as an update, Chloe is single.
Is she?
Yeah.
I thought she was dating James Harden.
Last I heard, they had broken up.
I don't
Why
know.
Do you know so much about
I get all of her giant black athletes confused. She's dating one of them. His name is James. He got a beard. What does he play?
James Harden. He's basketball player.
Basketball player. Whatever. Yeah. So good luck to Chloe and Lamar. I hope she dumps him and gets back with Lamar because I love him. I am ending my friendship with Chelsea Handler. I used to love her. First of all, do you follow her on Instagram?
No, but I used to love her and read all her books.
She's, like, so desperate anymore. I used to love her. Everybody used to love her.
Right.
If you follow her on Instagram now, she's just annoying. She just tries too hard. I think she pissed off everyone at E and, you know, got out. Is she even doing a show now?
I don't know.
So last week, October 15th, is, like, Pregnancy Infant Loss and Remembrance Day. I can't, like, there's so many days on Facebook. They're like, it's Dog Day. It's Daughter's Day. But I do know that October 15th really is Pregnancy Loss Infant Remembrance Day. And she posted a picture of a chopped up pomegranate, which looked like a bloody mess. And it said, it's impossible to enjoy eating my pomegranate when the end result is this hashtag miscarriage.
Oh.
What is wrong with her?
That's terrible.
Do you like mean comedians? I don't.
No. And I don't. You can be funny without being mean.
And you can even be raunchy and you can be kind of mean. But to post that, I mean, at what point did you ever think that hashtag miscarriage is a good idea?
There's just some places you don't go.
No.
And that's one of them.
You know what? There have been other places that she's gone on her show where I didn't like how far she took it. And this just kind of, this broke up. Like, we were friends in my head, and me and Chelsea Handler are over. I'm unfollowing her on Instagram, and I could care less whatever she does again. She got a lot of backlash for it. And so, of course, she responded. There's a thing called National Miscarriage Day with a bunch of question marks. And she said,
oh, like, you didn't know?
Right. Well, somebody removed the hashtag, and she said, I didn't remove the hashtag. My assistant does that when I do something bad. Me having a pomegranate and infant loss are not directly related. When you hashtag it miscarriage, they are, dumbass.
Wow.
Sorry.
Backpedal.
Yeah. I thought we were friends, Chelsea Handler.
Nope.
And she's not. And then did anybody watch Saturday Night Live over the weekend? Do you guys know who co-hosted?
I know Tracy Morgan did, which I'm a huge fan of. I didn't even know because I don't watch TV. I didn't know he was co-hosting.
Yeah, no. So this was, like, his first big appearance after his car accident.
Right. Was he funny?
I always fall asleep during SNL. So the opening monologue was really cute, and I think he did pretty good. I cannot watch SNL during election season.
No.
Everything
no.
is so political, and right now they're on the big anti-gun thing, and it's just, I'm like, just shut up and be funny. But did you watch Tracy?
Yeah, I watched it. It was really, really funny. It's like he didn't even miss a beat.
I saw he did the Brian Fellows thing.
Right.
Aww. I saw he did that. Was that a real camel?
Yes.
Okay, well, me and Rocky were trying to figure it out. So, but yeah, so good for Tracy. He's doing good and looks like he's overcome a lot. And yeah, so Jess, you were in a crazy car accident. How many years ago now?
11.
11? Has it really? You know what? It was because it was right when I had Rocky that you had it because we were working at the Bowl. So yeah. Make kind of like a long story short of what happened with that accident because you were driving a radio station van at the time.
I was. I was on 55.
Did they fire you right away?
No, like, they can't.
You crashed the van.
No. When I was in this car accident, Clear Channel, this is what I hear.
Yeah.
Clear Channel put $1 million into an account in case I was going to sue them.
Wow.
They paid for everything.
Did they pay for your medical bills and everything?
Everything.
That's amazing. And so how many things did you have wrong with you after that accident?
My entire body minus my head were inside of the dashboard.
Right. Were you by yourself when you?
Yes.
And you were driving the van,
mm-hmm.
And do you remember anything?
No.
Do you remember driving that day?
Yes. I remember that morning, that day. I don't remember leaving the station. I remember nothing. They told me I probably never will because I had head injury.
Yeah.
So I had head injury, my small intestine was ruptured, and my leg now has a rod and 10 pins in it.
Do you remember much of your hospital stay?
No.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people say is that you go and, you know, like Tracy Morgan, now his car accident was a tour bus crash.
Yes.
So he, you know, was completely unsecured, not in a seatbelt, and some, I think one or two of his friends died in that accident.
Yes.
And so it, you know, recovering from something like that, you know, it's taken him a long, long time. So good for him. It was good to see Tracy over the weekend on SNL.
He's doing well.
Yeah, and I think you can find it on, what is it, like Hulu or Netflix or one of those?
Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
It's on demand, actually.
Oh, but you don't have cable, right?
I do. I just don't watch it.
What's wrong with you?
My husband monopolizes our TV.
Oh, with sports and stuff?
Yes, that's all I watch.
Yeah, all right. All right, we will be right back with kind of a serious topic. There is some shadiness going on in St. Louis, and it's happening like literally right underneath my house. So for those of you who have been worried about this burning trash thing, I've been seeing it on Facebook. I saw it in Rolling Stone magazine.
Yeah.
So I'm like, dude, I'm interviewing him. So I'm going to do a real interview with an important person next.
Awesome.
Everybody hold on to your hats.
Okay.
We'll be right back. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show.
The older she gets,
the more she understands Britney's 2007 meltdown.
Back once again.
It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show is brought to you by a brand new sponsor. Everybody clap.
Yay!
Everybody's like, whoa, the studio multiplied. Damsel in Defense, brought to you by Christina Davis. The truth is 1 in 4 women will be stalked at some point in their lives, and a violent crime happens every 26 seconds. And Damsel in Defense is a new company that was founded. Well, it was founded in 2011. They have created a line of self-defense products specifically for women. They are smaller for women. They are cute. They are pink. They are purple. They range from stun guns to pepper spray, security on the go at your fingertips. They kind of base their business off three ideas: equip, empower, and educate. Their catalog is amazing. I saw it the other day and I wanted to order the whole thing. They they have a stun gun disguised as a camera.
Oh.
So like you think it's a camera. I'm going to start taking it on my weddings, and when my groomsmen are drunk and misbehave, I'm be like, let me take your picture, zap.
Oh, that could be terrible.
Can you see that coming in handy?
Ooh, wrong camera, sorry.
Yeah, I just, sorry about that. I just, my mom, I'm always worried about her. So I just got her their take it and leave it pepper spray. It's like a larger can that you leave at home and a smaller one that you take with you, and this awesome personal keychain alarm. And so you keep it when you're walking in a parking lot. If some kind of emergency happens and you need to draw attention to yourself, you pull this alarm and it makes a high pitched noise and everybody can find you. So
that's cool.
Yeah, if you go to Kelly Mano right now, look for the Damsel in Defense logo, and it'll take you straight to Christina's business page. You can take a look at the product, see if there is something that'll work for you. Call Christina today with Damsel in Defense. Her number is 618-789-5561. Jess, what's that number again?
618-789-5561.
これからみんなでめちゃくちゃ踊って騒ごう騒ごう。
ヘッベンガ
radio show, and we have a guest in the studio. Everybody welcome Ed Smith from the Safe Energy Director. Hi Ed, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Welcome to my home. Did you like the pig?
That was a surprise.
Did you meet the pig?
I did. We became friends.
Yeah, so Ed is the Safe Energy Director with the Missouri Coalition for the Environment, and I asked him to come in and talk to us today. I was going to play the Billy Joel song, We Didn't Start the Fire? Is that what that is? Yeah. I was going to play that, but I try to stick to hip-hop, so was the Missy Elliott okay?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I have some friends in studio. I asked my friends, the Harrises, Donna and Chris, say hi.
Hello.
It would help if I turn on your microphone. Say hi again.
Oh, hi.
There you go.
Hello.
I also drug my friend Julie Zlotopolsky in here. Say hey. And producer Gary is also a North County native. So I started seeing on, I guess, Facebook. Let's face it. That's where we get all of our information out of Facebook. I started seeing this story about this fire burning, the landfill that's caught on fire. It's going to hit this nuclear waste and it's all going to blow up and we're all going to die. Now, I've been ignoring this story for a long time because I don't play into like the fear mongering and things like that. But the closer it gets and the more news credible, you know, places start talking about it. So, Ed, I want you to tell me what is going on at a very base level.
Yeah, well, at a basic level, first it would help if people knew that what's in the landfill, the radioactive materials, originated from the processing of uranium in St. Louis for nuclear weapons back in World War II.
Okay, so let me get this straight, because I can hardly help my fifth grader with his homework. So.
Okay.
So in World War II,
yeah,
they had to stash away a bunch of radioactive material, uranium.
We needed to purify uranium at a commercial scale for nuclear weapons. That's what the Manhattan Project was meant to do. And they needed a lot of uranium to try to create nuclear fission and eventually build a nuclear weapon.
Okay.
And so that all started here in St. Louis in 1942, 3 years before the first bomb was dropped in Japan.
And so we buried it in Bridgeton.
Well, it's a convoluted mess. So what happened?
I was going to say, is that a fact? Are they admitting that it's buried there? Is that something that we're?
It's a fact that radioactive materials from the Manhattan Project are at Westlake Landfill. The materials were moved from downtown St. Louis to the airport before North County was developed.
Okay,
that was the original contamination of Coldwater Creek. The radioactive materials were actually sold by the federal government in the 60s. To a private company that moved them around the St. Louis area.
Why would you move that stuff? Once it's there, why are you messing with it?
Well, the federal government, there was still some value in it from a business perspective. So you basically had all of this ore that was mined already, and there was still value. The federal government only wanted uranium-235 for the nuclear weapon. There were still heavy metals and other radioactive isotopes that companies found valuable. And so the federal government sold these materials. They moved them to Hazelwood right off Laddie Avenue along Coldwater Creek as well.
Right.
And got them ready to ship out to Colorado.
Okay.
That company's fortunes kind of went south in the late 60s.
Okay.
They stopped working at that site in 1970.
And they left it there.
And they left it at Laddie Avenue. And in 1973, the federal government came back and said, you need to clean this up. And that's when they took the radioactive material at Laddie Avenue in Hazelwood and mixed it with about 40,000 tons of dirt, which was also radioactive, and then illegally dumped that at the Westlake Landfill in 1973.
Where is the Westlake Landfill? Is that in Bridgeton?
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about?
We're talking about it's off the St. Charles Rock Road. If you get off of Highway 270 at the St. Charles Rock Road and go west toward the river, you'll pass the landfill on your left. You can drive past it and see radioactive signs along the fences while driving down St. Charles Rock Road.
Right, and you can smell it. Julie's holding her nose over there. So, okay, explain to me this. How come sometimes when I drive by the Bridgeton trash dump, it stinks and sometimes it doesn't?
Well, I can't explain.
It
depends on which way the wind's blowing sometimes. But other times, there are these gas extraction wells meant to manage the methane generated in landfills. If we didn't have these gas collection systems at our landfills, right, there would be the chance that they could explode.
Okay.
So we have these gas collection systems meant to manage the methane. But due to the smoldering fire, that's making the landfill sink, and it's compromising the integrity of these gas extraction wells. And sometimes those break down and will just release right. landfill gases into the air without being burnt off.
Awesome. Okay, now you use a lot of big words. So yes. let me see if I can explain this. So the trash dump, which is the Republic Waste Service, the same people that pick up our trash, it's their dump, right?
Correct.
And they burn their trash underground.
Well, they're not supposed to.
Oh, they're not. See, no. I thought that was a normal thing that people do.
No, you're not supposed to have a smoldering fire at your landfill.
Oh.
It's illegal to. It's basically the equivalent of an incinerator right now. Which you're not. We don't burn garbage. It releases a lot of nasty right. stuff, and that's what's happening at the landfill.
And the thing that has us in danger now is this burning fire is creeping closer and closer and closer to this nuclear waste, and that's why everybody is, you know, freaking out, starting to panic, and then you've got the government saying, "Oh no, you're going to be fine," because they say they built a wall, right?
They're talking about building a barrier that. That has yet to happen. For over 2 years, the Environmental Protection Agency has been trying to figure out where can we put a barrier to keep the radioactive material on one side and the fire on the other. The problem is that when they tested the proposed barrier, they found radioactivity in areas where they hadn't previously found it before. So it's been taking longer than expected.
So to make a long story short, something bad and shady is going on.
Well, we're right now most immediately concerned about the fact that the smoldering fire has been burning for 5 years. We've got people that live really close to it.
It might as well be in my basement.
There's people that actually live on top of it.
Not to change subjects, but for people who don't live in the St. Louis area and don't know this, the same area that this is happening is a lot of North County that just went through everything with Ferguson. I mean, we're just getting things back to normal, and now we have to deal with this. And so I've got my friends here. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to let them ask you questions because we, you know, as a sort of a town hall style, we all live here, we all are raising children here, and we're all starting to get really concerned that we're raising them in this gigantic cancer hold. So are you open to answering all kinds of questions?
Yeah, let's talk.
Even really stupid ones?
Sure.
Really, really dumb ones?
No stupid questions.
All right, we will be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show.
Y'all can't stop me now. Listen to me now. I'm lasting 20 rounds. And if you want me, then come on get me now.
The Kelly Mano Show. The princess of the 90s is now the queen of the minivan carpool. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
Rob the jewelry store and tell her make me a grill.
It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show. We are back with Ed Smith. He is the Safe Energy Director at the Missouri Coalition for the Environment. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
You have a very important job. You do like important stuff for a living. I'm playing fart jokes and rap songs.
I wake up every day and I'm happy to go to work.
Well, thank God we have people like you. So I told you, everybody in St. Louis is getting really worried about this underground fire that's getting closer and closer to this nuclear waste. I started paying attention to it on Facebook. And then I saw this article in Rolling Stone, and I thought, oh my gosh, Rolling Stone is talking about us. So I click on the article, and it's from 2.5 years ago. So this has been going on for 2.5 years. Where are our politicians?
Well, we've actually seen them become more engaged over the last several years. People have to understand that this is such a complex issue. There's no other environmental issue in the country that comes close to the complexities of the smoldering and radioactive Westlake landfill.
And so this is, you know, if we're going to talk worst case scenario, the reason that you're here talking to me and the reason that I got my friends Christopher and Donna and Julie in here is because let's say worst case scenario happens is that this fire reaches the waste. At that point, it is going to release that radioactive material into the air, which is extremely dangerous. Is it like a, it's not like a kill you on the spot thing, right? It's like a make you really sick thing.
Well, I don't think that we'll see a worst case scenario. There's, again, this is incredibly complex, but there's a lot of stuff tied up in legal processes. The Attorney General of Missouri has a lawsuit against the landfill company that's tied up in court. It's been going on since 2013, March 2013. The EPA Superfund is involved on the radioactive side. They have legal processes they have to go through. If the state of Missouri or the federal government determines that the smoldering fire is presenting an imminent threat, they have the power of establishing a state of emergency or pursuing an emergency removal action that bypasses the legal issues and gives them full
authority.
So you
do think our government is keeping an eye on it?
Well, our job is to make sure that these folks have a plan B. So we are going
to... Yeah, because who trusts the government? Well, raise your hand if you trust the government. Yeah, nobody.
Right. So we're trying to make sure that the Environmental Protection Agency in the state of Missouri has a plan B. What does a worst case... We know what a worst case scenario looks like, but what are the triggers? Like, what's the red line? We haven't been able to get any good answers to that. And we don't know yet exactly what a plan B looks like.
So you're pretty much holding the government, you're literally holding them accountable for this. So Donna, Julie, Chris, I mean, you guys are all North County, either current residents or former residents. So this is something that's been a part of your lives for a while.
Right. And, you know, we still have family here, even though we don't live in North County. So I'm worried about my parents. Christopher's worried about his parents.
Not to mention you guys grew up here. And I know that Julie is really passionate about the Coldwater Creek thing.
Yes.
You've had so many people who have lost family members over this.
Yes. And, you know, I used to play in the creek. So obviously it's a concern for me.
Why are you in my house? You didn't tell me that. We are no longer friends. We are no longer friends.
As a lover of North County, of North County, my question is, do I pack a jump bag? You know, do I pack up my kids and leave? I mean, you hear so many things are conflicting. You just don't really
like
know what
where do we draw the line between being scared to death and prepared?
Well, and I heard you say that you don't anticipate a worst case scenario, and that sounds hopeful to me. But what does worst case scenario look like, and why can you for certainty say that that's something you don't anticipate?
Well, what our most immediate there's a lot there, so I'm going to try and unpack that. The smoldering fire, the fastest that it moved, about 2 years ago when it was moving throughout the south quarry, was 2 to 3 feet a day. And so right now the smoldering fire is somewhere between 800 and 1,000 feet away from the known areas of radioactive material. There are instruments like temperature monitoring probes that are stuck into the landfill between the smoldering fire and the radioactive material that literally measure the temperature of the landfill. There are other indicators like how much carbon monoxide is in the landfill gas that they're pulling out of.
Is that those probes in the ground? Is that stuff you guys stuck in there that the trash company's doing?
We didn't. It's stuff that the trash company put there basically.
Because they're not letting you near it, right?
Well, we don't go on site. But this is stuff that the Department of Natural Resources, which has jurisdiction over the landfill and the landfill company, regarding the smoldering fire, required them to do. Some of it legally through the courts.
Okay. And so you were saying that what would be the worst case scenario that hopefully wouldn't happen? Because, you know, we have people like sitting up at night in bed scared. And there are a couple of like buzz phrases or buzzwords that we're hearing or reading about that say things like, you know, you may not know immediately when this happens or you'll have little to no notice. And I'm thinking
the little to no notice thing really bothered me.
Yeah,
freaks you out. And that's the little to no notice part of what the county put in its emergency plan was based on the fact that there was a surface fire at the landfill in 2013. There was a pipe that broke and there was a plume that was released into the surrounding areas. And that was without any notice. And so the thing is what is most immediately concerning is, one, the fact that we're concerned about the people who live and work around there, because the landfill gas emissions, the state of Missouri is looking at acute exposure. What we're concerned about is what the long-term chronic exposure to this is. People have been living there for 5 years. What does it mean? The landfill company says it's going to smolder for another 5 years. So what does that mean for the people's health who live and work immediately around that landfill? And secondly, the fact is that as the smoldering fire has continued to burn, it started about 150, 200 feet deep. But as it smolders, all the landfill material on top of it has been sinking into where that smoldering has been happening. And that means that the distance between the smoldering and the surface is decreasing. Some areas like 80 feet.
Right.
And the concern is even if the radioactive materials aren't impacted, that you could have the possibility, as soon as that continues to sink down, having an actual surface fire on the where the smoldering fire is currently at. And by no means is that going to be good for you if that happens. So,
and let's be clear. I mean, I'm having you in because the public schools are sending home letters. They got letters of emergency saying that they're putting plans in place for this. So whenever I read, number one, that the schools were getting involved, and then number two, that mm-hmm. we would have little to no notice that when this fire reaches, if it reaches, that's when I decided to have you on.
Yeah, and I just want to say that, you know, it's a good thing that the schools are doing that, because the last thing you want is to have a problem and the parents have no clue about what's going on.
Right.
And this is such a very sensitive topic that it's a very alarming issue to talk about what a worst case scenario looks like.
It feels like we're living in a movie. It doesn't feel like real life.
That's how I felt about my job the last 3 years.
Oh, you mentioned a lot about depth of the actual landfill. What do we know about what's the depth of the radioactive material that's buried? I mean, you talk about this being so far deep. Now, how deep is it? How dense is it?
So, yeah, that's a concern that the Pattonville Fire Protection District has had. The radioactive material is currently anywhere between surface level and about 20, 25 deep, and in some cases deeper than that. So the fire department's concern is that a lot of vegetation and shrubs are where the radioactive material is currently located.
Well, and that's how everybody got so sick, was that this, you know, over the years, this creek would overflow and get in the gardens and people would eat it.
Well, that's different than the landfill.
Those are two completely different.
We're talking about a portion of the landfill where the radioactive materials are, where there has been shrubs and small trees and
okay.
a lot of different vegetation that has grown over the radioactive site, but there it literally sits at the surface. The radioactive material has literally been detected at the surface. The Pattonville Fire Protection District's concerns are if that vegetation were to catch on fire, independent even of the smoldering fire, is that that would have the opportunity to liberate the radioactive material through smoke and through that burning. And that's something that needs to be addressed.
Right.
And all of this sounds, I mean, very horrific. So I'm not trying to make little of it, but I do want to compare it. Like, I know this sounds silly to maybe some people, but like Chernobyl. I mean, is that, I my mind immediately goes there and
right.
I freak out and I'm like, I don't live directly in North County anymore. But then how, if something bad happens, I know in Chernobyl they had an explosion, and then that the effects of that reached out hundreds, I mean 500
yeah.
miles.
Yeah, yes. And so something that we've been looking at is actually, so Chernobyl, you know, that was a nuclear explosion at a reactor, and it moved radioactive material very far away. So instead of, because we don't have a nuclear reactor at Westlake, but we do have radioactive material, and so what we've been looking at is there was an exclusion zone around Chernobyl. A lot of it was forests. So what we've done is looked at studies that have reviewed what happened when those forests caught on fire. So we're not looking at a nuclear reactor versus a fire at Westlake. We're looking at fires in these forests versus a fire with the grassy vegetation and whatnot at Westlake. And the studies that we have seen is that the radioactive materials do mobilize and transport.
Right.
Off-site.
And that, and I think and that's also where I've read that tornadoes can be an issue as well. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
They can carry that material.
Well, we've certainly seen tornadoes move past the landfill. The Good Friday tornado moved. It was 500, 1,000 feet south of the landfill.
It went to the airport and then it hit my house. So yeah. We were in that tornado. And so, yeah, you don't even think about a tornado taking that soil up. And this is not just going to affect Hazelwood and Bridgeton. This is, I think Julie showed me a map that this is, we're talking people all the way over in Illinois could be affected by this depending on the wind that day.
Yeah, it would depend on the wind and how prolonged the fire was and where the fire was. Again, that's why the county has an emergency plan that's not prescribed about what their reaction and response is, because it's unpredictable.
Right, right.
Right, and as you mentioned, the wind, that was one of the things Donna and I have talked about, because you know we're actually in St. Charles, more like in the St. Peter's area, and I would consider us upwind from, you know, the landfill mm-hmm. zone. You know, all of the warnings and their backup plan and their emergency plan called for, like, Hazelwood, Florissant, you know, St. Charles City.
The immediate warnings.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm curious, you know, for, in your opinion, what do you think of zones that far out, like O'Fallon, St. Peter's, Wentzville? I mean, you know, clearly I feel like I'd be more worried if I lived in Ferguson or even, you know, Riverview, Spanish Lake, those areas, because
down
that's the way
east,
the wind
yeah.
is going to blow these things.
Yeah, there was a report that just came out recently. I've only had a chance to breeze through it by the EPA that looked at the traditional weather patterns, and I believe that even in the winter time, if I remember this correctly, that the winds are traditionally northeast. So that means that you're not necessarily looking, they're from the northeast.
Mm-hmm.
So that means we would be looking towards Clayton and along the I-70 corridor and
right.
so forth.
Right.
Okay. But again, it all depends on what a future event might be.
All right, Julie?
I'm curious to know if Republic Service is kind of seems like they're still running the show. How is it that they still are after already having a fire that's illegal, that's been going on for, you said, like 5 years? How is it that somebody isn't able to step in, whether it be the state or like they were trying to get the Corps of Engineers to help clean up? Because I had heard that it was labeled one of these superfunded sites because there's places like this, I guess, across the country. And that
yeah, St. Louis isn't the
cleanup.
Only one. It's
no.
Well, yeah, the Superfund program was actually started in the late 70s by Jimmy Carter. And Lois Gibbs, if anybody's ever heard of a place called Love Canal in New York, it was a pissed off mom that found out that the American dream she was living, much like the American dream that most people thought they were living here in North County, were waking up to Coldwater Creek. She found out that her community was built on a chemical landfill. And so she took EPA officials hostage, is the short story.
Like they really hostage?
Everybody's pointing at Kelly.
Why are you pointing at me?
They formed a human chain around a house.
Don't give me any ideas.
Exactly. And kept the EPA officials inside.
I'll have him tied up in a bow like in the Griswolds. Like yeah. When he goes to get his boss.
But
were they successful?
Yeah, they were successful. They ended up being relocated.
Oh, no.
It was a different time then. You know, they were actually...
We'll paint them green.
They were actually able to, from there, begin a dialogue with President Carter about these nasty corporate environmental problems that were impacting human health. And that's the birth of Superfund was through Lois Gibbs. And Lois Gibbs came to town about a year ago and held a public... forum on Westlake Landfill. So
is that the same lady that took the guy
yeah,
hostage? Dude,
yeah.
We need to call her.
Yeah. Well, we talked to her.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's pretty awesome.
Is she still down to like get down and kidnap people? Because I'll help her.
You know, different tactics for different days, right?
Oh, but, like slash her tires instead.
No, okay. No, we're not like that.
Oh.
But she helped found a nonprofit called the Center for Health and Environmental Justice.
Yeah.
I would encourage anybody to check that out. And she's been helpful with Just Moms STL, working on, you know, you can't piss off a mom and make them think that their children's health is in danger. That's I've never seen anybody more,
Hell hath no fury yes. than a toddler mom scorned or.
Yes. Exactly.
So, okay. Last questions as we wrap this up is what are some logical things that those of us living here can do to either number one, you know, prepare ourselves or be ready? Cause I'll tell you right now that if you go to my Amazon.com cart, I have 5 sets of ski goggles and 5 sets of those, like medical, like the Michael Jackson masks that he used to wear, like the surgical masks.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? They're cheap. I'll just buy a bunch of those and keep them in my car. Is that even like remotely smart?
No, I think that's reasonable. But what I would encourage people to do, especially if you're in St. Louis County, is to go to the county's emergency management page. They have this thing on there called Nixel. And regardless if it's Westlake related, if it's an earthquake, tornado, any disaster, they use Nixel as a way to, I see them already.
Yeah, they're already putting it in their phone. So say that again for everybody at home.
It's called Nixle, Nixle.
Is it an app or a website?
It's an app. And so they will text you if there is an issue, severe weather, tornadoes, earthquakes, smoldering landfill fires. They'll warn you about what's going on. I like to call it PIE. So be prepared.
Okay.
The county has also recently issued an emergency response plan that you can do for yourself. But families should always have some sort of plan in case of an emergency, regardless of what that is.
Yeah, I mean, I have plans for other things. I have my tornado box downstairs with my weather radio and things like that. So this just seems like
another thing that you just need to be aware of that's happening. So be prepared, be informed.
Yeah.
Make sure that you read credible sources about what's going on, and then be engaged.
All right.
And that means making sure that there's a list of platforms that we want to see a voluntary buyout for the people within a 1 mile radius of landfill, property assurance up to 5 miles. And we actually want to see the Army Corps of Engineers be put in charge of the Westlake landfill.
That's what I'm waiting for. Where is our military?
So who do we contact? Like, what politicians? Who should we be directly contacting to work for this?
Well, we think the first two we think can come out of the Attorney General's lawsuit with Republic Services. The second one, the third one, our federally elected officials need to act. So Congressman Clay, Congresswoman Wagner, their district literally splits this landfill in half. That's not a joke. And then Senator McCaskill and Senator Blunt. And Senator Blunt particularly, he's in the majority. He sits in leadership in the Senate, and he sits on subcommittees that are important for the budget. And you're going to have to pass the budget before the end of the year. This is a big deal in D.C.
Okay.
His party's in charge. He's on the subcommittee for appropriations. He can get this done. We're not just picking on him. He's actually in a position to get things done.
And do you have a website or something that people can go to get accurate information?
Yeah, I would like people to go to moenvironment.org or Google Westlake Landfill Facebook. The moms run that group. There's lots of information on there. And follow us on Twitter at moenviron. At Mo Environ.
All right, you guys.
Just Moms STL.
Moms STL. Huge shout out to them. These moms do not get paid. They work their butts off to make sure that people sitting in this room and your listeners know what's going on.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, because like I said, you know, there are things that made me start taking notice, and you know, seeing it on Facebook, I ignored it for so long, but hearing, you know, the letters that are coming home and, you know, in the kids' backpacks, I just thought we needed to have somebody to talk about it.
Thanks for having
me. So thank you so much, Ed Smith, for coming in. Everybody give him a round of applause. And I could not think of a better time to do an ad for Rachel Wood at Remax. Because, Jimmy, put the house up for sale. I don't want the house to blow up. No, in all reality, we've already been planning on moving for a long time. The fact that there is a smoldering fire underneath us is just going to make us move faster. And the lady that's going to help us do it is Rachel Witt with Remax. We met her at an open house over the weekend. Oh, not over the weekend. You have me all worried now, Ed. Over this summer, we spent so much time with Rachel going to open houses, getting to know her, her family, her personality. I feel like she's not just a real estate agent. She's our friend, and she's so great with her service. And, you know, let's face it, a lot of people are upside down on their homes right now, the Manos included, because North County properties aren't looking too hot right now. And she can handle that. She can walk you through that process. If you are selling your home, she does these really cool walkthrough videos. Her website is homesalesinstcharles.com. You can also give Rachel a call. Her number is 636-720-3836. Jess?
636-720-3836.
You do that so good. Thank you. You can also visit her website. Again, that's homesalesinstcharles.com. Get in touch with Rachel Witt at Remax if you want to move away from the burning fire like we do. We'll be right back. It's the Kelly Manor Radio Show.
Mop got colors like a fruit. Yeah. This what it do when the loo ice grill. Country grammar where the hustles move bricks and the gangsters bang hammers. Where I got them, you can spot them on the top and the bottom. Got a bill in my mouth like I'm Hillary Rodham.
I ain't dissing no
Kelly Manor Show.
She finally found a job
that doesn't require a bra. The Kelly Manor Show is on the air.
The Kelly Manor Show is proudly brought to you by Advocare. My Advocare chick is Kim Miller, and I love her. So Advocare makes this great product called Spark. It is your morning coffee. For if you're not a coffee drinker, it is your morning soda. If you are a soda drinker, it replaces all of those. Spark can Spark contains 21 vitamins, nutrients, and minerals that soda does not. It also has zero sugar, and it's much more affordable. So Kim lives here in North County, but she will deliver to your door in North County or in St. Charles. If you're further away, she can ship it to you. If you've never tried Spark and you want to try it, she will send you a free sample. It's that easy. Just go to her website. It's www.fit-champs.com. Again, that's www.fit-champs.com. She doesn't just sell the Spark. Advocare has a huge line of weight loss and weight maintenance products that you can check out if you have a chance. So get in touch with Kim Miller. You can also go to my website, kellymano.com, later today, and I will link you directly to her Facebook page. Thank you, Kim. Paper here about Miley Cyrus doing a naked concert. Now I can't find it.
Oh, what?
Do you know anything about that?
No.
So she's teaming up. First of all, Gary, will you get Sweet Katie over there some headphones? Miley Cyrus is getting ready to go on tour with the Flaming Lips, and they're doing an entire nude show.
Why?
Like we haven't seen her naked enough.
It's
if I want to see Miley Cyrus naked, I'll look at my 12-year-old nephew.
For real.
Yeah, and if you've ever seen the Flaming Lips, you don't want to see them naked either.
That was my next question was, are the Flaming Lips cute? No. Just, you know?
No.
Are they gross? Well, no, here's the thing.
They're old.
Well, here's the thing. The audience has to be naked, too.
Oh, why? So that everybody feels whole, like one?
Like they're filming a video for Miley's new song. And
do I have to buy a ticket to this concert? Are they paying me? Because there's no way.
If they're seeing my goodies, they're paying me to be there.
Exactly.
Right? And I don't think I'd want to be naked with that many people in public.
No, what if somebody touches me?
I know. Like, I'm not modest at all, and I love my body. I don't mind, like...
Well, me neither.
But I'm not going to be naked with...
No.
with random people.
Oh,
she's so gross.
She is gross. Like, she's such an attention whore.
She tries so hard.
Oh, I'm over you.
We're over you. So today I've broken up with Chelsea Handler, and I never liked Miley Cyrus.
Me neither.
I never had to break up with her. But so over the weekend, did I have a hair in my mouth?
No, you had a hair on your microphone.
Oh, thanks. That could have went in my mouth. I borrowed a VCR over the weekend. I talked about this earlier, and I found all these old VHS tapes, one of them being Rocky's Birth, another one being these old Palm videos that I had.
Awesome.
And so my next guest in the studio is named Katie Gunther. Everybody say hi, Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Hi.
So I met Katie when she was a senior in high school because I did your senior pictures, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Katie was on what's now known as the dance team, okay?
Yes,
it's not the pom-pom squad anymore. And I said, hey, remember those awesome outfits that we used to wear on the pom squad? Do you guys ever wear those anymore? And she's like, yeah, for old school day.
Oh.
And I'm like, wah, wah. And so I am very attached to my days as a Granite City pom. I mean, that is a legacy, okay? I don't know what you chicks on the dance team did with it, but when we were on Palms, that was like a legacy, okay? And I wanted one of those uniforms. So I'm shooting Sweet Katie senior pictures, and I'm like, hey, I'm like, if you can steal me a uniform, I'll give you like
serious?
I'll give you like a free 16 by 20. Guess what's in my closet right now?
Go, you, Katie!
Really? Katie, is it okay that I admit this on the air? Are you going to get in trouble?
No.
She's like, Kelly, she's like, there's like 40 of them and they're just sitting in a closet doing nothing. And I'm like, well, I need one of those.
You had her...
Steal it.
Actually, I don't even think I did.
And
it.
She was lured
I think
by
that
like,
your coach stole it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I was like, I need a pom uniform. So now, like, nobody has these. They're called the baby doll uniforms. And I've got one hanging in my closet.
I want to say that... Like, the girls wore it for, like, some kind of pirate because it had, like, big fluffy sleeves.
Oh, my
sleeves.
God! Stop it! We were not like, pirates! Do you, like, put it on, Kelly, and, like, wear it around?
I have put it on. Whenever Jimmy, when I call his phone, the picture that comes up is me in my pom uniform.
I gotta see this.
Dude, I'm awesome. Well, you know what? There's a real reason that Katie is here. She thinks that she can take me down in Friends Trivia.
I think I'm going to put my money on her, actually.
Damn it. Why do you people always doubt me?
Because she looks like she knows stuff.
Gary doubted me last week, and he looked stupid.
Do you think I'm going to look stupid?
Yeah.
I never look stupid. Katie, I can't give you a 16 by 20 picture or anything, but...
I will say that I don't know actors' names. That's what's going to be by that
one. Can I, like, help her?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know actors'
names
either.
TV,
that's rough. Okay, well, first off, Friends came out when I was 6 years old, so...
I was going to say, you're younger than me, so I mean... I would like so to old. Say that I at least applaud you for coming at such a young age, because this is not even in your wheelhouse. But okay, so Jess, you come over here.
Okay.
Gary has to sit there.
This is your pen.
Not gonna lie, I'm pretty nervous. Oh, by the way, I'm gonna use Rachel.
You're gonna use Rachel?
Because, all right, because well, that's Rachel is that. Two syllables. And Monica is three. That's too much to say out.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. So my best friend Stephanie called me out over the weekend. She's like, I hear your friend's trivia. She's like, you are so Monica. Why are you using Phoebe? I'm like, I don't know. That's just what I started using, and it's done me well so far. So Katie, Kelly. Now you know what happens when you lose, right, Katie?
Yes, I know.
So if you challenge me in Friends Trivia and you lose, you have to donate $20 to athletesforanimals.org. It's the David and Kelly Backus organization that benefits animals here in the St. Louis area. And if I ever lose, I'll have to donate.
Right. Where do people go? Where do people go if they want to challenge you?
What? Oh, they just email the show. Oh, thank you. I have an email address. It's heykelly@kellymano.com. People like to message me on Facebook a lot, and I've got about 3,000 Facebook friends. And so I get a lot of messages. And so if you want to get to me quickly, the way to do it is to email me. Gary, what's that address again?
It's heykelly@kellymano.com.
You're so good at that. And also, you know, my website, www.kellymano.com. Facebook, Instagram, you can find me. All right. Katie, are you ready?
I'm totally ready.
All right, hang on. Let me make sure her mic's up. Jess, are you ready to keep score?
Yes, I am.
Gary, do you have the dinger?
I do.
Make it ding. Let me hear it. Okay, get it closer to your hand so you can ding it faster.
Okay.
I'm very bossy.
Wow.
Okay. Are we ready?
We are.
Wait a minute. Let me make sure everybody's up.
Rapid fire here.
Do we have 15 questions?
Yes, we have 15 questions.
Okay.
Here we go. In the opening credits, where is the cast dancing?
Phoebe, in front of a fountain.
Okay. Number two, what makes Phoebe's singing voice sexy?
Rachel. Her sickness.
All right, 1-1. What other hit NBC show did Phoebe's twin sister Ursula appear on?
Rachel. Buffy the... Oh, I don't know.
No, Phoebe, it had Helen and Tom and...
It's Mad About You.
Helen Hunt. I knew that.
That's correct. Who did Joey and Janice go on a double date with?
Phoebe, Chandler and Monica.
All right. What band did Chandler want to hire for his wedding?
Rachel. The Swing Kings.
I thought that was the band Monica wanted to hire.
No.
That was the one Chandler wanted to hire.
Oh, I'm watching that episode to make sure, Weed.
What did Emily ask Ross to do in exchange for moving to New York
Phoebe,
City?
Phoebe, not talk to Rachel anymore.
When Joey worked as a cologne spritzer, what cologne was he spritzing?
Phoebe.
Rachel.
Phoebe.
Lone Ranger.
No. Ombre.
No.
Oh, what is it?
It's Bijan for Men. The oh, other the,
the other,
other guy,
cowboy was Ombre.
The other guy was Ombre.
Gosh.
What boy name did Phoebe suggest for Ross and Rachel's baby?
Oh. I don't know that
anybody,
one.
Anybody?
Nope.
Phoebo.
Oh.
Right. Who does Ross sleep with when he thinks he and Rachel are on a break?
Phoebe, the copy girl.
Dang it!
The girl from the coffee shop.
What did Joey buy for Kathy for her birthday?
Phoebe.
Oh, I got it.
What did Joey buy her?
Joey.
A pen.
Oh, God, I knew that was
a little more specific. A little more specific, please.
Oh, like a pen that you write with.
I got it.
Wait a minute. A pen.
No. Rachel, a clock pen. Bam.
That, I'm calling bull crap on that.
Oh, they made it very specific. Go watch the episode.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Okay. Who gave Carol away at her wedding?
Rachel. Ross. Woo woo!
Ooh.
What song did Ross dedicate to Rachel on the radio?
Phoebe, With or Without You by U2.
Ooh, gosh.
What did Chandler like to eat after sex?
Oh, gosh.
God, Gary, you're pervy with the questions. I don't know.
Kung Pao chicken.
Oh, I would have never gotten that.
I didn't get that either.
Okay, here's where we get fun. When Joey's name appeared in a crossword puzzle, what clue was he?
Oh, my gosh.
They talked about it.
Oh.
I know exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, and it was something bad.
No, it was his character on Days of Our Lives. But...
Oh, is it this character fell down an elevator shaft?
Yeah, but what clue number?
Oh. Four down.
Eight down.
It was three down.
All right.
And last, what did Chandler do for a living?
Phoebe. Rachel. He was a transponster with a weenus.
No, that is incorrect.
I just heard this. It's like five words long. I won't know.
He operated the weenus.
That is incorrect.
And Rachel said he was a transponster. No,
that is
nobody
correct,
ever knew exactly what he was. It was never said.
Okay, Jez, what was the final score?
Final score, Katie 4, Kelly 5.
Oh! You guys can all kiss it. Oh, you know what? I do have to say, Katie, you put up a good fight.
Good.
I'm really proud of you because you're so young. I mean, you definitely gave me the hardest fight that you've ever given me. But I do have one thing that I want to do real quick. I just want to read Katie's email to me. Hey, Kelly, it's Katie Gunther. I listen to your show and I love it. I for sure every time, especially the Granite City. Oh, no, I'm not going to say that part. But I want to let you know I could definitely take you down in Friends Trivia. See the attached photos of the DVD set that has been watched at least a full 20 times and all the random aired TV shows. So if you're willing to accept my offer, it's definitely going to be a good fight for the queen of for the Trivia Queen of Friends. And I still beat you.
Oh, I'm so upset.
I'll tell you what, Katie was the first person that had me a little bit nervous because she was actually catching up with me.
Right.
So Katie, you know what you have to do, right?
Yes, I do.
So Katie is going to be donating $20 to Athletes for Animals. www.athletesforanimals.org is where you can go if you want to make your donation. So Katie, while you're here, do you want to say hi to anybody on the radio?
Hi, Mom and Dad, I guess.
Hi, Mom and Dad.
Jonathan.
Is that your boyfriend still?
Yeah, I'm still with him from my senior pictures.
So when I did her senior pictures, she had this cute little boyfriend with her. And how long have you guys been together now?
8.5 years.
So high school sweethearts?
Yes.
Very, very cute. So hi. What, is that a hint?
Nothing there yet.
Listen, take your time.
Those
cute high school boys turn into like grown hairy men who snore and don't clip their toenails.
Hey now.
Not saying that my sweet husband doesn't do that. We didn't go to high school together, no. So, Katie, anybody else you want to say hi to?
Oh, no, just hi to all my senior girls.
Oh, Gary, anybody you want to say hi to since you got a microphone?
No, I'm good.
All right, Jess, did you have fun today?
Yeah, and I have a question.
What?
Was I the first person to co-host twice?
No, Hoss was. So you thought you were special? Almost.
Not special.
You were this close.
I'm not special.
You were second special.
That's true. I remember that now. Okay,
I find that the co-hosts that I like having on are like an old pair of underwear that are just easy to put on, and that's why I called you today.
Wow.
That's a compliment.
Thank
you. You're old underwear.
Thank you. Do I smell?
No.
Okay.
But you do need butt pads.
I do not need butt pads.
If you want to stick around with me. Thank you. For listening to the train wreck of a radio show that is the Kelly Mano Show. We have a lot of fun here every Monday morning. If you like the show, share the show, right, Jess?
Yes.
My website is always up to date with the most recent show, www.kellymano.com. And email me, heykelly@kellymano.com, and I'll actually write you back.
That's awesome.
Yeah, check out my website later today. All the sponsors are going to be on there. Pictures from today's show. And that's it for now. So I will see you guys next Monday. All right? Everybody say bye.
Bye. Bye.